this morning, and I hope you do. I encourage you to turn with us to the book of Psalms and the 100th chapter. Psalms chapter number 100. Some of you may be able to just quote this chapter, but I encourage you to turn there, and let's read it together, and then let's study it together here in just a minute, see if we can't find something that'll be a blessing and a help to us. If you're in Psalms 100 and you want to stand, I encourage you to do that. This is a short chapter, just 5 verses, so we'll read the entirety of it, and then we'll preach from the entire chapter. So if you will just leave your Bibles open, that would be a blessing to me and to you both. Psalms 100 in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Father, I pray You bless Your word this morning. Help Your people, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. I'll be honest with you, I love the 100th Psalm. In fact, it is one of my favorite Psalms. I remember when Davina and I used to be the youth leaders there at Landmark, and we would take the kids downstairs and have service with them on Wednesday nights. We oftentimes would, through the year, would teach them this 100th Psalm and get them to memorize it and say it over and over and over again. This is a beautiful psalm that is a wonderful celebration of praise to the Lord. In fact, if you study beginning in Psalms 93 and you move forward through Psalms 100, you will come across what we call the royal psalms. Each of these psalms emphasizes the sovereignty of God and the ruling power of God, the goodness of God, and the responsibility of God's people to worship Him for who He is. In fact, just if you will, just quickly, look at Psalms 93. Begin in Psalms 93. Let's just look at these first verses. These are wonderful, these royal psalms. Psalms 93:1. "The Lord reigneth, He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Therewith He hath girded Himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved." What about that? The Lord reigns, He said in verse 1. He is clothed with strength and clothed with majesty. Boy, we know that the first time He came, He did not come with strength and He did not come with majesty. Instead, He was born in weakness. He was a baby. He was born a humble birth in a stable. But one day He will come again, and that time He will come with strength, and that time He will come clothed with majesty. He will come the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What about that? Psalms 94:1. "O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show Thyself." Boy, I'll say this. The first time He came offering salvation. But the next time He comes, He's coming with judgment. He's coming with vengeance. He's coming to make war. Amen. Psalms 95 verse 1. "O come, let us sing praises unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Psalms 96:1. "O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth." Psalms 97:1. "The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof." 98:1. "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For He hath done marvelous things. His right hand, His holy arm, hath gotten Him victory." 99:1. "The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He setteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved." And then 100:1. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Hey, the psalmist begins by talking to us in these royal psalms about Him coming as King, Him reigning as King, Him taking vengeance as King. But then He just gets a dose of can't help it. And for several chapters He said, let's just praise Him. Let's just worship Him. Let's just rejoice and make a joyful noise, because the Lord is King. The Lord reigns on the earth. Let's worship Him for who He is. Last Sunday morning I spoke to you on the thought of thankfulness. This morning my heart is in the same place. Having a thankful heart is one of the greatest traits a child of God can have. You say, you're going to preach on thankfulness again? I'm going to do it one more time. You know why? Because I believe being thankful will revolutionize your Christian life. I believe that. In fact, I believe this: being thankful is not only one of the best characteristics a child of God can have, it's one of the best characteristics any person can have. Amen? It is for this reason that thankfulness is emphasized so often in the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, and 18, he said, rejoice evermore, there in verse 16. He said in verse 17, pray without ceasing. And then in verse 18, he just comes back to that thankfulness thing again. And he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Somebody said, boy, I want to know what the will of God is for my life. I'll tell you, and I won't charge you for it. You know what it is? It is to be thankful. Rejoice evermore in verse 16. And in verse 18, be thankful. Be thankful in everything, because this is God's will for your life. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be thankful for all things. You say, when should I be thankful? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You should be thankful in all things. What should I be thankful for? Romans 5:20. You should be thankful for everything. That means you should be thankful for all things at all times. I think the Bible's saying we should be a thankful people. I honestly believe that if we could get this issue of thankfulness right, it would take care of a lot of other issues in our life. Can I slow down and testify for a minute? Don't think bad of me when I say what I'm about to say, but there are days and there are times that I have to remind myself of some things I need to be thankful for. In fact, there are some things, spiritually speaking, that I have to remind myself to be thankful for. There are days when I go to work and I don't feel like going to work. You just flat out don't feel like it. And there are some days I've got to have a little pep talk with me, myself, and I on the way to work. Amen? And usually it begins by something like this: Lord, I thank you for this job I'm about to go to. Amen? Hey, I'm glad that I've got a job. Hey, I'm thankful, Lord, that I've got a job that provides for my family, that I can go to, that I've got a good place to work. Hey, I'm thankful that I've got an automobile that gets me to work. I'm thankful I've got the health that I can do what I'm about to do. You know, I've got to remind myself to be thankful sometimes, because getting my heart right with thankfulness makes everything else right. Amen? Hey, there are even some days where it feels like I've got a million projects at work and there are a million things going on, and I have to at the same time prepare 2 sermons on Sunday and 1 on Wednesday, and it's a lot and it is overwhelming some weeks. And I have to remind myself and go to God in prayer and say, God, I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve. I'm thankful for the Bible that I get to read. I'm thankful for the opportunity to study. I'm glad you called me to preach. I'm glad I've got a church to do it in. You say, you ought to just be thankful for that all the time. You're right, and I've got to remind myself of that sometimes. Amen? You see, when we get our heart right on thankfulness, it makes a lot of things go better. You know what would help our marriages more than anything else? Being thankful for our spouses. You know what would help our homes more than anything else? for parents to be thankful for their children and children to be thankful for their parents. Amen. You know what would help our churches a whole lot? For us to be thankful for one another and thankful for the church and stop looking at all the negative things and having the mully grubs about everything and say, God, I'm just thankful today. Amen. That would take care of a lot of things. Boy, I'm thankful. I'm thinking about this thing of praise and thanksgiving again this morning. I want to preach out of Psalms chapter number 100 on this thought. Coming into His presence with praise. Coming into His presence with praise. I'll show you three things out of our text. Number one, if you want to write them down, write this down. I want you to see God's desire. I want you to see God's desire. Look at verse 1 and verse 2. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. This great psalm begins in verse number 1 by telling us to be a joyful people. In verse number 2, He tells us to serve the Lord with gladness and to come before His presence with singing. It is almost like when you come to the 100th Psalm, you can feel the excitement in the life of the writer as he pens these words. Joy and celebration are on every line. He says, be joyful, be glad, sing unto the Lord. He is excited when he writes these words. He is a happy man with a happy song, with joy in his heart, and he wants that joy to be expressed, and he wants that joy to be contagious, and he not only wants himself to be joyful, but he wants us to be joyful as well. Now, I'm sure that what I'm about to say would shock some Christians, and it would really mess up some of their theology, but I'm going to say it anyways. Hold on to your seats when I say this. Did you know that God wants you and me as Christians to be happy? Did you know that? Now, I know that that takes some Christians by surprise, because I have met some religious people that believe that God wants them to be serious all the time. And if you smile or you have a good time, then you obviously are a sinner. When the Bible clearly says that a merry heart doth good like a medicine. You know what fixed most people's problems? If they'd smile and laugh every once in a while. Amen? Their face might break if they was to come out in a smile. And you know, some people not only believe that you're supposed to be serious all the time, but there are some Christians that believe they're supposed to be mad about everything. I have met some of them, and they are always mad at somebody about something because they are up here and we are down here and they want to let us know about it. God wants His people to be a happy, joyful people. God wants us to be happy, amen. We are on our way to heaven. We have Jesus in our heart. We have a beautiful world to enjoy. We have all the blessings of God that are daily loaded upon us. And God would like it if we would smile every once in a while. Amen. That's exactly right. In fact, we are told in verse number one to come before, verse two, to come before His presence with singing. That means come with joy. That means come with happiness. That means come with rejoicing. Come to God with a happy spirit. Amen. Amen. I want you to think about something with me. There are days that I come to God with a long face. I'll be honest with you. There are days that I come before God with a long face because I've been mistreated or I've been done wrong. And I want to tell God about it, and that's okay. God wants me to do that. There are days that I come before God with tears in my eyes because I'm brokenhearted over somebody or over something, and that's okay. God wants me to do that. And there are days that I come before God with my head held low because I'm having to ask for forgiveness because I failed Him and I've done something wrong.
And that's okay. He wants me to do that. But just like I come to Him in all those other ways, God also wants me to come to Him every once in a while with a smile on my face and joy in my heart and a song on my lips and say, God, I love You. I'm glad today. I'm thankful today. I'm happy today because of who You are and what I am. Amen. God wants us to come before Him. Never forget to come before Him with joy. God wants us to be a joyful people. Amen. I love this. Verse 1 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all your lands. And then verse 2 tells us two things that will happen if we make a joyful noise. Verse 2 says there'll be a shout. Amen. That's right. Verse number 2 tells us that there'll be a shout. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. I'm sorry, it's in verse 1. That make a joyful noise. There's the shout. I looked right over it. It's right in verse 1. There's the shout right there. Hey, if we've got joy in our heart, it's going to come out on our lips every once in a while. Dr. J. Vernon McGee wrote one time after he had retired from his pastorate, he said, now that I'm a retired preacher, I find myself becoming an expert on telling young preachers how they should conduct their services. He said, if there's one criticism I can make concerning my own ministry, it is that I did not have enough praise included in my services. We ought to praise God more. We ought to worship God more. We ought to come joyfully into His presence. And can I say amen, hallelujah, I agree. You know what we ought to do every once in a while when we come to church? We ought to verbalize the excitement that's in our hearts. This is okay. Amen is okay. Praise the Lord is accepted around here. In fact, if you want to get up and you want to shout, I'm going to be okay with that. If you want to clap your hands and praise the Lord, go right ahead. I'm all right with it. Amen. We ought to have a shout in our soul. Amen. In fact, if we was to shout every once in a while, I believe it might help us to enjoy church more. And it might help those around us to enjoy church more. We'd probably leave saying, boy, I don't know what it was about today's service, but it was just awful good. Amen? But not only is there a shout, there's some service. Verse 1, make a joyful noise. There's the shout. Verse 2 says to come. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. You know what joy in your heart will do? It'll not only cause shouting on Sunday, it'll bring about service on Monday. Amen. That's exactly right. Now think about this with me. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Watch these words. All ye lands. Now here's what we would expect verse 1 to say. We would expect verse 1 to say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, ye house of Israel. That's what we would expect it to say. Because Israel was God's people. Israel was the ones that had the word of God and the man of God. We would expect it to say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, ye house of Israel. But it doesn't say that. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Then let me ask you a question. How are all the lands going to know that they are supposed to make a joyful noise unto the Lord? There's only one way I can think of that everybody would know they're supposed to praise the Lord. You know what that one way is? Is that if we told them. Amen? Isn't that right? We've got to tell them. Hey, He said, serve the Lord with gladness. You see, praising the Lord and serving the Lord go hand in hand. I wrote this down in my notes. If you sing, you ought to serve. If you shout, you ought to serve. If you give a sermon, you ought to serve. Because worship and service always go hand in hand. Somebody once said, find a job you love and you'll never work another day in your life. You ever heard that? I'm still looking for that job. I'm looking, looking, looking. And when I find it, I'll let you know. I'm pretty happy doing what I'm doing. But do you know why some Christians have such a hard time serving the Lord? Because it's not something they love. It's a job. Yep. But if they got that joy thing right, it would fix that problem. Why is it that we have such a hard time telling everybody about Jesus, but we've got no problem talking about how Tennessee whooped up on Kentucky yesterday? Amen? Amen, that's right. We can talk about that. Let's be honest. You let a little kid get a new toy or a new pair of shoes or something, and you know what they'll do? I've seen it. They've done it. They'll run into this church, and they'll run right up to me, and they'll want to show me the new toy. They want to show me the new shoes. They want to show me the new dress. You know why? They're excited about that. You know what would happen if we would get excited about Jesus? We would start telling people and showing people and inviting people and talking about it. It wouldn't be something we have to force ourselves to do. It would just be something we do because we're so excited we can't help it. Amen? God's desire. You know what God's desire is for you? God's desire is for you to be happy. For you to be a joyful Christian. Amen. Not only do I see God's desire, number two, I see God's description. I see God's description. Verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." In the next verse, the psalmist will teach us, verse 4 and verse 5, that we should come to the Lord with thanksgiving. So between the joy of verse 1 and 2 and the thanksgiving of verse 4 and verse 5, we are given a description of the Lord in verse number 3. Do you know who the Lord is? Can I ask us all that question this morning? Do you know who the Lord is? Verse 3 gives us His description. Verse 3 says, "The Lord is God." I'm not sure that we as Christians are even aware of who the Lord is sometimes. Oh, the Lord is God. Do we believe that? It's easy to say that. But if we really believe the way that he was God, the way we say we believe that He's God, I think it would affect our prayers. It would affect our life. It would affect the way we conduct ourselves. Know ye, He said. This is something I want you to know. Know that He is God. That word "know" in verse number 1 means to know by experience. It means to acknowledge. It means to really know God for who He is because you have experienced who He is. And then I love this. He gives us a description of who the Lord is. He said, first of all, that He's the Creator. He said, "Know ye that the Lord is God. It is He that hath made us." He is the Creator God. It declares to us, verse 3, that God has made us. He's the one that spoke this world into existence. He is the one that breathed life into you and to me. He's the one that keeps the world rotating on its axis and the solar system rotating around the sun. He's the one that causes the sun to shine and the stars to twinkle in the night. He's the one that sends rain, sends the snow, and sends the wind. He is the Creator God. And if He can do all of that, I wonder how He could take care of a little group of people like you and me. He is worthy to be praised because He is our Creator. Not only is He the Creator, but He's the Redeemer. The Bible says, verse number 3, it says, "It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves." We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. That phrase, "not we ourselves," literally means, "and we are His," is what it means. It means we are do not belong to ourselves, not we ourselves. It means we don't belong to ourselves, but we belong to Him. You know how it is that I come to belong to Him? Because He purchased me. He bought me with His own blood. He redeemed me from sin. He put me into His family. He made me into His inheritance. I am His, not mine, because He's my Redeemer. He's my shepherd. Verse number 3 says, "We are the sheep of His pasture." The Lord is worthy to be praised because He is the Creator, because He is the Redeemer, because He is my shepherd. And we should worship Him as such. Oh, the Lord is worthy of our praise. I want you to see this, number three. Let me skip ahead and close. Number three, I see God's desire. I see God's description. And then last of all, I see God's direction. Verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. This is what God wants from you. And this is what God wants from me. He directs us in verse 4 to come before Him with thanksgiving. In fact, twice in verse 4, we are told to be thankful. Think about something with me, please. When we come before the Lord, we should come first with thankfulness. Amen. Come before His presence. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. When we come before the Lord in prayer, we should come with thanksgiving first. When we come to the church, we should come with thankful hearts. When we enter each day, we should do so with thanksgiving first, because it's a gift from God. We should enter His gates. The first thing should be a sacrifice of praise. This has been an interesting week for me. I preached last Sunday on thankfulness and praise, and I preached today on thankfulness and praise. And in between those two things, it was hard for me to be thankful. I'm not whining and complaining, I promise you I'm not. Monday afternoon, I was doing some work in my building, and I made a wrong turn, and when I did, I felt it in my back. I've been to the chiropractor 3 times this week, and I felt probably as bad this morning as I have all week long. I am lathered down in blue emu this morning. I have taken ibuprofen, and I can barely move. And I've hurt all week long, and I'm not complaining, because there are some people that don't just hurt for a week, they hurt every day. But I hurt every day this week, knowing that I just preached on thankfulness and that I was about to do it again. So you know what I found myself doing? I found myself saying, Lord, I want to thank You for the health that I do have. Lord, I want to thank You for this day. Lord, I want to thank You that I can at least get about and I can move. And Lord, I want You to help me, and I pray that You would help me, but I just want to thank You for... And it's not been this week, God, I need this, I need this, I need this. This week I've tried to enter into His gates. The first thing, find something to be thankful for. Amen. Something to praise the Lord for. Amen. Something to say that I am grateful for today. You say, well, I don't know if I've got anything to be thankful for. Well, I've got 3 things there in verse 5, and when I give them to you, I'm out of here. Number one, you know what you can be thankful for? You can be thankful that the Lord is good. Right there in verse number 4, verse 5, for the Lord is good. The psalmist said in Psalms 34:8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Can I say this morning that God is good? Not only is God good, but God gives us good things. Psalms 85:12, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. He is good, He gives good things, and then He makes sure everything works out for good. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God is good. He gives us good things, and He makes sure everything works out for good. I can thank Him on my worst days because God is good. Can I say God being good is more than a catchy phrase? It is who He is. God is good. Amen. Hey, God is good. Not only can I be thankful because God's good, I can be thankful that His mercy is everlasting. Verse 5, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting. Do you know what that everlasting means? It means that He won't ever run out. He won't ever run out of mercy. God had enough mercy for me yesterday, and He had some left over for today. And He'll have mercy again tomorrow. You say, what's mercy? Mercy's the fact that I did not get what I deserved. Amen? You know the good thing about God? He had enough mercy for me. And if you go to God and you need mercy, you will never hear Him say, I just gave my last ounce of mercy to the preacher and I don't have enough left for you. He will have enough for you, and He'll have enough for you, and He'll have enough for you, and He'll have some more tomorrow, and He'll have some more the day after that, because His mercy is everlasting. You know, it's like that little widow woman that fed Elijah. You remember that? Who had that little barrel of meal? And every day she'd go, and there was just enough that day to feed them for one more day. And they'd go back the next day, and what do you know? Sure enough, there's just enough for one more day. And the next day, what a miracle, one more day. You know what I found with God? I can go to Him, and every day He's got enough to get me through that next day. I can be thankful because His mercy is everlasting. And I can be thankful that His truth endureth to all generation. The word truth in verse number 5 is the Hebrew word that we translate amen. Amen. Truth. In fact, that word means be established. It means truth. It means right. In fact, the same wording is used to give us a description of the way that Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses while he was up on top of that mountain and the children of Israel were fighting in the valley. The hands of Moses rested on the weight of Aaron and Hur. That they were established because of what Aaron and Hur did. And now the Bible says His truth. That tells me that His truth is established. His truth is firm. His truth is something that I can rest all of my weight on. And His truth never changes. It is good from one generation to another generation. God was faithful yesterday. God is faithful today. And when you wake up tomorrow, no matter what you wake to, you'll find this one thing to be true. He will be faithful tomorrow. I can be thankful for that on my worst days. I wonder, Brother Scott, I want you to get us a song. I wonder if there's somebody here that wants to come pray and just say, God, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for another day. Maybe you want to come pray and say, God, I want you to help me to be more thankful. Help me to worship you more, to praise you better. Whatever it is you want to come pray about, if you want to come, these altars are open.